Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap, a podcast about the Chicago Bears presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. Can't follow me on Twitter, actually, because I just am still a Nigerian Bitcoin account. But follow my co-host, Joey, at Joey Knows Nothing, and Quentin at Butka Stats. A little thrown off. Bears drop a game, another winnable game on this long losing skid. And I think something that was just rammed down our throat during the broadcast, we are now no longer the record holder for the most wins in the NFL. But other than that, boys, how are we doing today? 28-19, by the way.
Yeah, doing good, man. You know, it's the coaches were all in on the tank, I think, today. It was interesting to watch. In Green Bay territory, Bears called 6 passes and 11 runs. Like, they were taking the ball out of Fields' hands. You can debate as to why they might have been doing that. Like, after a, 50-yard completion, why you're just trying to run the ball over and over and over, and why you're – I mean, your quarterback was on fire today for, like, the entire first half, and then in the second half, they took the ball out of his hands more. It's just interesting. Interesting is all I have to say.
Yeah, Getsy definitely is looking for one of those top picks. That's all I can come away with from this game. It's like you waited to the last minute to finally actually stick with throwing the ball when you absolutely needed to. And even then, it's like that, like, dude, towards the end of that third quarter, it's like second and goal from basically the 50-yard line, and you're running the ball again. Like, what the fuck are you doing, my friend? Absolutely wants a draft pick. Like, there's no other explanation. There really isn't. You ran that many screens. The screens are driving me nuts at this point. Like, I'm sorry. Like, they work a lot of times too. But then it's like when you do it repetitively like that, you're making Jaire Alexander look like Darrell Revis, or like, I don't even know, like, who's a really good tackling cornerback right now. But like,
He's not good.
He got cooked, dude. He got cooked earlier in the game.
Yeah, he's not
good. Like, those screenplays, you make him look really good on those plays. It's fucking horrible.
Like the screens, they're fine in neutral situations, I think. And like, even when you're in situations where, like, you know, you're in a good field position, but when you're in gotta have it downs and at more distance, a screen is not the right call. Right? Like, you're 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8, something like that. A screen pass is not what you're looking for a lot of the time. When you're in 2nd and 4, even 3rd and 4, sure, yeah, it can work well. But we saw too many of those 3rd and long screens today.
Drives you nuts, dude. Absolutely drives you nuts.
Yeah, and I think the thing is with this Bears team is they play a lot better when they're chasing a game than when they have the keys to the car. When they have the lead, another 2-possession lead, multiple times 2-possession blown, you have a missed extra point, bad weather conditions, and then you allow a missed assignment to ruin a field goal chance. Now, Justin Fields obviously threw 2 interceptions at the end of the game to kind of seal it, both in the last 5 minutes of the game. Both are pretty ugly, but there's a lot that we could have done earlier in the game to not be in that situation, to only be up 9 at that point. I knew once we kicked that field goal to go up 19-10, I'm like, well, this is where the fun ends. This is where you get off the ride. Like, I saw someone from the account tweeted, like, this is fun. I'm like, God damn it. Someone take the phone from Ron right now.
Dude, yeah. when it got close, like, when the Packers just started moving the ball and they were still trailing and they weren't even really moving it that well, no. I said, we're losing this game.
They weren't moving good at any point during this game. They just chipped away.
We're losing this game because you got too complacent and you didn't want to trust your quarterback to put your foot on their throat. Put your foot on their throat. That's what you should have done in a game like this. This to me felt like, I don't know about you guys, but I wanted this to be, like, so badly the end of an era type of game.
And it had that feel halfway through it.
It did. Like, the St. Brown play, we're losing our mind. The N'Keal Harry play where he fakes the hitch throw, kind of peels out, rolls out to the left. He kind of looked around for other targets, then peeled out, rolled out. Harry kind of he peels upfield, and then he hits some deep, great catch by N'Keal Harry. Like, there was a lot of good things that happened offensively with Justin Fields today, passing, throwing the football. And then you have an offensive coordinator who's like, we're just going to run the ball on second and fucking 500 yards and then throw a million screens. And then we're going to put him in a position where he has to throw the ball late to win a game with a terrible offensive line and receivers who don't know how to run routes and don't come back to the football. Like St. Brown, who obviously had a pretty good game up until that point, but got stuck in the mud there on that route. Like, you need to come back and get the football. That is a horrible fucking route.
So yeah, it was just laziness.
On that note, like, I want to go on a bit of a rant about this. If you have Justin Field, like, bad in the fourth quarter takes, I want you to go to your front door, throw it as far as you can out there, slam the door shut, and deadbolt it. Because you cannot get that from this game when you're actually going and watching it and watching what happened there. Like, he was a dog all day. He was kicking ass in spite of everything around him, in spite of the coaches just taking the ball out of his hands in key moments. He said, okay, I don't need the ball in key moments. We're going to go score. We're going to go score. And he had good process. He was hitting his reads. He was hitting secondary, tertiary reads all game long. And then we finally see him throwing with some anticipation, which was a legitimate knock on him and a legitimate thing that we wanted to see more of. We're seeing it in this game. It's beautiful. And then one of his throws with anticipation, EQ just, like you said, gets stuck in the mud. Just, like, that was a dog shit route. I'm sorry. That was a terrible route. And I don't like to criticize guys like that very often, but, like, it was poor. Poor is being nice. And so just don't be fooled by the box score analysis on this. Like, Fields had a great game. Sure, we do need to see the fourth quarter success, but the odds are we're not going to see it with most quarterbacks on this roster with this play calling being what it is this year. Just throw it out the door, wait for it till next year.
The Dan Wienerer article is coming.
Oh, I know. It 100% is.
And I said his name like that for a reason, because it's bullshit. The winning, you can't put it on Fields at this point. There's no way, like you said, Quentin, this fourth quarter and that last interception, we talked about it before we hopped on here. The last one's just like, it's garbage time. He's just trying to make a play. It's a bad interception. But
you're
like,
you're down nine with a minute left. You still need every single thing to go your way for 60 seconds to even have a chance to win. You know,
I think a good rule is don't pay any attention to good or bad that happens in garbage time. It's like you remember in 2019 against the Saints when Mitch put up like 150 yards and two touchdowns in garbage time, and it made his stats look, you know, just fine. If you were just looking at the box score, you'd be like, well, I guess Mitch wasn't the problem, but like he kind of was, you know. Those garbage time stats are exactly that, garbage.
Mitch almost good or bad. Mitch almost had the most legendary cover in that game too. But yeah. You know, Jimmy Graham caught the touchdown and then just walked into the tunnel and
I remember betting that game. The Bears were favorites, and I was on the Bears for it. And then like after the game started, I started betting the Bears live spread. And then at some point it got so bad, I started betting the Saints live spread. I just wanted the Bears to suck. And I lost like every single bet. I was in shambles after that.
Oh my God.
They call that the chase and never catch the tail.
Yeah. I learned a lesson that day. I learned a lesson.
I've been there.
I like to just fire and then put the phone away until the new slate starts. But yeah, dude. Fields had like 250 yards today. If they called an offense that was catered to him throwing the football, he would have thrown for 300 yards multiple times, and most definitely today. I think it's something that we talked about just leading up to this game is if it was Fields, you wanted to see him have that type of performance that says, hey, I'm here. I'm the best quarterback in the division. Like, what are you going to do about it? And I heard people talking in the pregame on like Fox and CBS about like, why are they even still playing Rodgers? I know people actually asked him that during his media this week, like, why are you still playing? Like, there's really nothing to gain or whatever. Because they essentially have to go 5-0 and need a bunch of help to even be, like, the seventh seed. So, yeah, fuck that guy. He didn't really do much today. Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. Because even if – so, say, for example, you don't miss the extra point. Okay, you're tied. The game is managed a different way, right? We manage the game in certain situations based on what's going on, right? Like, he's coaching fucking 101. But the Bears can never seem to manage the game the right way when they're actually up, which we're not up that often. I thought Joe, you'll get a kick out of this too. The Bears have 10 first drive scores this season. They sound familiar? Like the Cubs, all those first inning runs. And
still, inning runs, yeah.
Still fucking getting their dick popped off like at the end of the game. Like, what is it with our teams where it's like we come out, we hit the ground running, we go down, get some points on the first drive, and then, you know, we had the lead for what? We had the lead for like 50 minutes in this game. We took the lead on the first drive and lost it with like 7 minutes left. And then, it wasn't even insurmountable then. And then, too, when Christian Watson, you know, when he took that touchdown to the house, or when he took that ball to the house, he kept us in the game. He gave us another opportunity with the ball. They could have very easily gotten that first down and sat down, and we would have had to waste our timeouts and maybe would have kicked a field goal or punted and pinned us. But furthermore, proof that Christian Watson can't do anything other than run in a straight line. And it almost cost us team if Matt LaFleur didn't have two medicine balls for nuts to go for two right there, which I love that call. But
it was a good call. Yeah,
it was a good call. Seven, yeah. You know, no matter what, you're still up by seven. So
make it a two possession game if you can.
Like, we need
a
touchdown no matter what. But yeah, dude, I hate losing to the Packers. I hate losing in general. And even like when Fields broke off for that 60 yarder, I'm like happy. But like at the same time, like that shit doesn't hit like when we're in the middle of actually chasing for something. This whole year just has me all sorts of messed up, bro. Like, I don't even know what to feel. I know Fields is doing his thing right now. I know Claypool had a bad play. I still think he was down. Komet balled out. Harry, like you said, Joey balled out. Talk about David Montgomery. David Montgomery comes to play against the Green Bay Packers just about as much as anybody ever has in this rivalry, and he did his fucking thing today too. So
he's a horse.
Yeah, I'm not like super disappointed in the guys, but yeah, it sucks to lose this one. It sucks.
So I have a buddy who I text with during most Bears games, and he's, you know, not to say that I'm not, but he is fully aboard the tank train, right? And it's like just constantly like, we need to lose come from him. And I have the same mentality, but during games I don't, because I'm like, I'm just trying to temper against it, being like, man, I just want to see Fields ball out. I just want to see something good from the Bears. But it's just like, it's such conflicting feelings, right? It's hard to like process it and to keep it in the state of mind. Like during the game, you're like, man, I want to see him do well. We have this quarterback. We have this thing that we've never seen before. This guy who can just make these explosive plays out of nothing. And it's like, you want to see as much of that as you can. But at the same time, you're like, man, Jalen Carter would be like, that dude is a dream fit for this defense. And he's not getting out of the top three, I don't think. You know, so it's like, it just puts you in such this a weird spot as a fan, or me at least. It puts me in this weird spot that I don't know how to fully process either.
It's awkward. And I'm kind of going through the same shit with NIU. Well, the NIU season's over now, but even like Joey, like when you watch Iowa in a season where it's like they're going to go 5-7 or 6-6, it's like it loses its luster. You know what I'm saying? And obviously we have the show, so we're in the trenches until fucking Aaron Rodgers does his discount double check at full time. But like at a certain point, the two, like, you have to pick a side, right? I am like I am split right down the middle on the fence, because yeah, it's like I understand losing is going to get us this draft pick, but at a certain point, man, you just want to see one go through the fucking goalpost. No pun intended after what happened today, but like like seriously,
can't even
like,
get that.
Yeah, no, we can't even get that. We've lost, what is it, six in a row now, right? Six in a row.
Dude, it's so bad to the point where, like, it's deja vu every week. You know the same thing is going to happen. Their wheels are going to fall off towards the end of the game. You have a good showing from your quarterback. It's literally every week at this point where Fields kind of balls out, does his thing. Yeah. Obviously, last week didn't play.
He's just like a player too short.
Dude, and they had good contain on that run. Like, they had really good contain on that run, and he just makes a guy miss. Bam, right up the middle, and he's gone. He's lights out. He's so fast.
I have a buddy who had him for first touchdown. I'm just like, you're a sicko.
Like, how would you not at this point, right? Like, and then that play,
was just unreal.
Oh,
like, it was like we all knew, like, that guy's not going to catch him, but we shouldn't have known that. We shouldn't have been confident in that because he was right on his heels, and then he's just breaking away from him. It was unreal.
You want to know what happened?
If anyone's behind him, dude, if you're behind him, you've missed.
Yeah, you're done. But you're done. He only had 72 yards, and he got 56 on that play. So that's another problem too. You know what ended up happening? Did anyone see the coach's press box view of when Georgia blocked that kick yesterday? And the coach was like, slow down, what are you doing? And he's like, oh wait, yes, he's gonna run it back. Like, they got the 56 yarder out and they're like, we fucking told you not to run the ball, you're hurt. And they just shut it down right away.
And then he was like, yeah, I'm good. Oh, I wonder,
Luke Getsy is a inside agent or whatever they call it. And he came over here to give the Packers two free wins and they still won't get to the playoffs.
I kind of wondered, yeah, maybe, who knows? Like, I think that could be a possibility. Maybe Brown is too, St. Brown. Honestly, I wondered though, like that one play where he initiated some contact, like he went for a few extra yards and kind of actually got tackled. I kind of wondered if that play right there was like, okay, I kind of felt that a little bit sore. Like, we're not going to do that again, you know? So I wondered if that was like Fields maybe even pulling back. And maybe he communicated that with the coaches.
When they started the broadcast, like, right, you know, when they're, you know, setting a scene for the game or whatever, and they're like, well, yeah, news broke that Rodgers and Fields will both play despite being banged up. And that's great. And I'm just like, it's really not. Like, it's actually not great at all, buddy. Like, I don't want to see Fields out there if he even has a fucking Band-Aid on. Like, no way. And I'm sure, you know, the Packers fans feel the same way about that guy. But, like, in the NFL, it's toxic if we, as fans, are like, we want them to play through it. They want to play through it, though. You know what I'm saying? So you can't make it toxic on us if we want to see our guys play. But I don't want to see Justin Fields play. There's certain scenarios and situations that dictate, like, hey, you're in the fucking playoffs. It's do or die. Like, Jay Cutler maybe playing in that playoff game, maybe playing down the stretch. Would have loved to see him play. But right now, Justin Fields, if he's not 100%, he can sit on the bench. And if we're not going to use him, or at least use his legs, considering he busted off another great 50-plus yard run, then I don't understand what we're calling on offense. And I think you brought it up earlier, Quinn, where you said once we cross the 50, 11 runs, 6 passes. Like, the play calling is
uneven.
The fix is in. That's all I can see on the play sheet.
Either it was a really poorly coached game offensively or a masterclass in how to tank with a stud QB.
So, boys,
it's one of those two. I don't know which one, but it's one of those two.
Well, that's going to be the playbook for future NFL franchises, but a former Bear just helped us out. Bryce Callahan pick 6 for the Chargers.
Hey, I gotta talk to Pat real quick, too.
Here, talk to Pat.
Talking about Iowa right here. Don't talk about Iowa. Petrus is garbage. Listen, they got Cade McNamara, my friend, all as well.
Also stinky.
Yeah, whatever. It's better than what we've had for the last, I don't know how long, even though they didn't really give Padilla a shot. But anyways, I think, man, like, the play – look at the play that he had with Kmet, right? The play where it's like, dude, that was so sick. He's looking around. He kind of steps up like he's going to run, and then he looks – it was like his last option, his outlet out on the left side. And he found him last minute before crossing the line of scrimmage on the left, like, sideline there. That was so beautiful. Like, that to me is like, you don't make those plays. Like, not normal quarterbacks, like average quarterbacks don't make those plays. That's a next level, like going through all my reads, avoiding the pass rush, threatening the defenders with my legs because I have that speed, and then hitting my last option. Like that. So like the progress from Fields is there, and that's like pretty much the most that you can get positive about right now is just like, there's other weapons, dude, too, like Komet. We talked about Komet. I mean,
he was 20 of 25 today, my boy. 20 of 25.
That was his most passing yards of the season, too, in a game.
Well, this, imagine this if you throw the ball 30, 35 times, maybe we win the game, right? maybe.
Before the last, like, 3 minutes of the game, too.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite stat from today was? Zero sacks, two QB hits.
Okay.
Just beautiful. The Hogs deserve.
Sam Mustafer did a great job out there today. Say it.
Hey, Sam Mustafer did a great job out there today. Give the Hogs their credit, man. Give the Hogs their credit. This was the best pass protection the Bears have had all season. Maybe that's something. Maybe that's a testament to Green Bay's pass rush. Maybe it's a testament to the Bears' O-line. But they were doing work today. And Justin Fields, when the pocket did get muddy, navigated it like a veteran. Like, he had no problem stepping up, keeping his eyes downfield. It was a thing of beauty. And the O-line and Fields were working together incredibly today. And I just want to give the Hogs their credit because I love the big Hogs. And Alex Leatherwood embarrassed a few guys today, which was cool to see as a guy who you got for nothing. Maybe you got something in him. I'm not saying you do, but I'm not saying you don't either.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, this guy was a first-round pick, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe. I mean, it did look pretty good. I like what I saw. I'm glad that you're giving him that credit there, because I'll sit here and just talk Justin Fields all this entire post-game show if I can, because, like, but they deserve the credit. Like, they absolutely do. And, like, you didn't really see too many penalties either. I think Tevin had one.
Tevin had a holding, and I think that was it for most of the game. There might have been one or two in the fourth quarter there.
Your boy on defense, Mr. Jones, had himself a pretty decent game, Billy.
Dude, honestly, he did have that one penalty, though.
You think he watched the show last week?
Yeah, he listened to Bears on Pat. Absolutely. He's like, what does Jalen Jones do? Somebody sent him that, and he was like, I'll show you what I do, but you also had a pass interference that you didn't turn around on with Christian Watson. So he had a pretty good game, him and Josh Blackwell, and actually Elijah Hicks was pretty good out there. There was some guy I didn't even know was on the roster. I think his name is Harrison Hand, who somehow got into the action. I don't know what he –
former Alabama great.
Yeah, he used to play for the Vikings.
I didn't even remember, like – honestly, like, hearing his name, I'm like, who is this? Like,
where did he go after Bama, Quinn?
I thought he went to Washington.
Yeah, he
like every Alabama defensive lineman. Oh, yeah, I didn't realize he transferred.
I think he – oh, yeah. Oh, he transferred from Bama?
No, yeah, you talking about Harrison Hand? I think you talking about Harrison Hand. He plays safety, does he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I might be getting mixed up then. I thought Alabama had a defensive lineman named Hand. I thought that was who he was.
No, there's also Brad Hand, who's like the worst pitcher in MLB history.
It's a great pitcher name, though.
It's a good pitcher name, yeah. No. Honestly, dude, after working for a baseball team for a year, pitchers are either the coolest dude in the room, bar none, or, like, don't even look in their direction the day that they pitch. Like, just if you have a pitcher in your life, you know. And I can assume it might be the same way for the quarterback position, right, with all the pressure. Even when Fields, you know, after he's making these big plays, he gets right to the bench, hand me my tablet, just like a little four-year-old. Just give me my tablet. I'm trying to play games on my phone. Like, he is watching his film, doing his thing, and – he's doing everything right now. Those picks, like the first one, like you said, was on EQ. The second one, you're just trying to make something happen. So maybe you're making a couple throws that you wouldn't make at other points in the game. But, yeah, dude, we've been playing not get embarrassed football for the entire season. For the most part, we haven't gotten embarrassed. But it's kind of like what we talked about earlier with, like, a bet, right? I'd rather lose my bet by 50 points and know it's over by the second quarter than for you to string me along for four quarters like a bad girlfriend and then just break me off right at the end. Like, it's not fun. It's actually insanity. Death taxes and us just getting on the mic after another, like, gut-wrenching, nut-kicking loss. And obviously it don't hurt as much anymore because now, like you said, Quentin, that part of the fan base that wants us to tank and lose games is getting what they want. But just as a Bears fan and as a competitor, and I think honestly just as someone that lives in this country that supports the underdog and roots for the little guy, you just want to find a way to win fucking football games. And to come out here for 4 more weeks or 5 more weeks or whatever it is and probably not win another one, I don't know how we're going to do it mentally.
I mean, it's just so sad, dude. Like, you watch this team, the defense, like, obviously we talked about the pass coverage and all that. Like, the front four, we've talked about this numerous times. Like, once they get so much time to throw the ball, Rodgers, who's missing throws anyways, he's missing short throws. I was cracking up on that one to the side with Randall Cobb, and then he just kind of looks at his hand like, dude, I don't think that's your hand. I think you could have, like, just pitched that to him, and it would have been a completion.
Yeah, just maybe don't do drugs all summer.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. But it's like, dude, if we had a decent pass rush in any of these games or a run defense, we'd probably at least win, like, what, 2 or 3 of these games at least? We're in every game pretty much. That's the most frustrating part. So it's like, you know, normally – I know rebuilds, everybody, like, kind of skeptical of, like, whether we get the picks and, like, how, like, good this team will actually be, what they'll spend money on. Like, the players, they're not confirmed to be or guaranteed to be good or anything. And that's true, right? But, like, they're not that many pieces away. And, like, 1 to 2 years for football, like, you don't need a long time for a rebuild. You know what I mean? Like, and Caleb Haney would have made that throw, Pat says. Yeah, I mean, like,
you're seeing it right now. Easy. You're seeing it right now with the Jets and Giants, right? Like, the Jets and Giants were bottom of the league teams last year, and they're competing for playoff spots. One team just benched their quarterback that they thought was supposed to be the next guy. And as we talked about before we started the show, Daniel Jones is not him either. So there are ways to win football games in this league, grind it out games without a quarterback. But now we have a quarterback, and I mean, to be quite honest, we have actually nothing else outside of Justin Fields. Maybe we have Cole Kmet and Monty and Mooney. Mooney's hurt. Our defense as a whole, as a unit, performs well, but on paper you're just like, who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah, and Beto, that's kind of my point. Like, I it's a faster rebuild. We've rebuilt, the Bears have rebuilt this thing much faster in years where they didn't have a quarterback and they didn't find a quarterback. Like, so I think now that you found the quarterback, this rebuild can take, I think it's going to go a lot quicker than what it's
you don't have to
in another year.
I expect them to make the playoffs next year.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Expect them. I mean, they are going to go out and spend $130 million in cash this offseason because they have to. So you're going to bring in a bunch of new starters. You're going to have high draft picks, like, and they have to because of the CBA, because they haven't spent enough cash the last 2 years. They need to spend like $130 million this offseason in cash, not cap space, in cash. So that means big signing bonuses, whatever.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, they're going to go sign Antonio Brown, and it's going to be Odell Hunky Beckham. Dory at Hallis Hall.
Odell Beckham. Just Terrell Owens. Bring Terrell Owens out of the cryo chamber. There's going to be some bad signings in there, though, just based off that. You know that, right?
Well, yeah. He's already missed on free agent.
2018, they brought in, what, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton. Who else did they bring in? Like, they brought in a few other guys along with that and paid Mac. Like, it's going to be that type of offseason because it needs to be. Now, not all of those are going to be home runs. Some are going to be middle of the road. Some are going to be crap signings, but one or two will be home runs. And when you have the quarterback, it's a lot easier to make them look like home runs.
But I think if you don't make the playoffs next year, to your point, Quentin, it's a failure. It's a failure on Ryan Poehl's part. Like, you could start to look and put him on the hot seat, even though it's only been his second year in charge. You could start to look at Eberflus and Luke Getsy and be like, guys, this is a failure, even though it's only their second year. Allen Williams. Like, you can look at all these different – the coaches and the GM and be like, hey, what's going on here? Like, you have a star. You have a Ferrari, a JF1 model Ferrari, and you are losing game. But, like, we can't really sit here – you know, I'm not going to sit here and freak out about this loss. It sucks that we lost the Packers. as it always does. Like, we, I want to whoop their ass every time they play each other so bad, to the point where I'm yelling in my living room and nobody's really paying attention. Like, nobody, like, my dogs are like, what's going on? Like, there's fireworks. It's, you know, it's 4th of July. Like, but it's still, and it doesn't matter. And I hate it that I get like this, but you know, I know that this team is going to be better next year. I just feel like this team is going to be much better next year.
I mean, I think the biggest question going into next year is going to be Luke Getsy. Like, he's going to have all the tools, and will his situational play calling become better? Like, he's shown a lot, but he's also shown a lot to be desired. Now, how much of that is, you know, tinfoil hat time, or how much of it is this guy is still finding his legs as a play caller, you know? And that's going to be the big question going into next year to me, and with the defense too. With Williams and Eberflus, they're going to have to get production out of those players they bring in. You know, I mean, a lot of these players in the defense are going to be different and
the first more talented. The next season are going to be so ugly. It's going to be just a brand new team. Just zero chemistry whatsoever.
You're going to be looking around at the team like, who's this guy? Number what? Who's that?
2018 was pretty fun the first few weeks. Matt Nagy's first year, very new team, very new faces all over the roster.
You take that back right now.
Parker was carried by the defense. It was a fun defense.
It was still fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That bald son of a bitch who was giving Patrick Mahomes the plays the night before his test.
Yeah.
Fucking cheater.
He was giving the other team's plays while he was here in the Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean – you saw a lot of fight. The defense played a lot better than we all had anticipated. You know, Aaron Rodgers, no matter what he has going on in his life, always saves 300 yards and 3 touchdowns for us, and he simply did not do that today. He was outdueled by Justin Fields. It was clear and obvious who the better quarterback on the field was at all times during the game. Even on the interception plays, I don't care. And, yeah, I don't know. What else could you guys really take away from this game?
The Claypool fumble sucked. I mean, I can't blame him too much because he got crushed.
Yeah, they turned him into a pretzel.
That sucked. Darrington Evans has some juice.
Yes, love him. Love that run.
He's got speed.
Yeah. And then, man, outside of that, I mean, we already touched on it a little bit, but Blackwell and Jones showed me something today. Like
Blackwell, they were just playing feisty.
Jones, I think. Like, I like the rest off from Blackwell a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing feisty today. I liked it. I know Blackwell did give up that touchdown right before the half, but that's you don't really know what you're going to see. You're thinking, hey, they're only going to go for the sticks, and they throw a fucking dagger shot on 4th and 4 from like the 9. So it's like,
yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, we're talking about undrafted free agents. If they can be end of roster guys. It's a win.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy had no intentions of playing Aaron Rodgers today, even when the season started, and he somehow still is.
I think it was cool to see. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that from the secondary. I really wasn't. I thought Rodgers was going to throw for 350 and 4 touchdowns. I pretty much put that in my Google Docs. I wrote it down. 350 and 4 touchdowns for Rodgers today. And they kind of stepped up, man. Like
a whole Dutch full of peyote and ayahuasca.
I mean, if they want to pay me back for my prop bets that I took for Rodgers, they want to pay me back in peyote and ayahuasca, I'll gladly sell it to Aaron Rodgers if he wants.
I'm still trying to see what Romeo Dubs had for lunch that he couldn't play today. When Aaron Rodgers went out for lunch,
couple two tree doobies.
Yeah,
I want to. Make everyone aware that the Jack Sanborn Statue Foundation is still taking donations.
Yes.
Because
once his jersey is available, I'm getting it.
Dude, he's looks a
like he's going to be a staple on this defense. Like, he flies around, man. He was everywhere out there today.
So I don't know if you guys do you guys watch like the pregame before the pregame where it's just like very specific and it's who is it? It's on there. Now I'm going to sound like an idiot. It's like
the huddle.
Yeah, no, it's like the Bears huddle. It's like Anthony Adams and then like
Lou Kanellis. It used to be like Bears Game Day Live back in the day.
It's Lou Kanellis. I knew it was like a very unique name, but yeah. They were talking before the game and they put up a stat on the screen and it was like defensive production, and it's just like traded, injured. And then like they said, Roquan still, despite what everything that happened, is still the leading tackler. But they were talking about how like they don't care, like Jack Sanborn plays the position better. And honestly, dude,
so instinctive.
Yeah, I mean, love Roquan to death, love Jack Sanborn to death. But they even talked about it on the broadcast, and I'm glad they had Amin on, because Adam Amin really knows what it's like to embody that Chicago mindset, and that, like, yeah, he's never going to be the fastest linebacker. He's never going to be the strongest. He's never going to be, you know, the quickest into the gaps. But what he does have is the right place at the right time syndrome, where he is always just around the football and always making plays. And as long as you can do that, as long as your body holds up, you'll have a long career in this league. And a guy that we're getting for literal pennies on the fucking dollar.
I mean, to throw it to a guy who Eberflus coached in Dallas, like, was Sean Lee ever the fastest guy out there, ever the most athletic? No, he was a hell of a linebacker because of his instincts. Like,
yeah.
Eberflus has a history with these type of guys.
And honestly, too, I didn't even think about this until 37 minutes into the show. If we had Gordon and Brisker today, we don't lose.
Probably. Well, I don't know, man. The secondary really didn't play that bad. You can't even really put it on them, you know?
Oh, like, no, I'm not putting it on them. But I'm just saying, you throw them into the mix and how bad Aaron Rodgers looked today and how good the secondary was.
You're probably getting an interception.
Yeah. You're probably getting a pick. Yeah. We didn't get any turnovers. Turnover was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a way I'd look at it. They didn't play that bad. Like, they played up to above expectations. But if Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker had that game today that those guys had, we'd be disappointed, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
like, if Kyler Gordon did the same thing as Jones did today, I'd be disappointed.
I think but that
because of my expectations for Jones, it felt like he exceeded expectations.
Well, Joey, I mean, as long as Joey didn't want to get on here and just motherfuck his whole family after the show, like that's usually every week, right? But, yeah, I don't know, man. They should have won. It's a painful or as stinging of a loss as you could, because at the end of the day, like, it's still a rivalry game. It's still the best rivalry in all of the NFL, and they fall short again today. But other than that, do you guys have any wrap-up thoughts on today's stinker?
Jalen Carter, no matter what.
Jalen Carter, no matter what.
Bring on the bye.
Well, we can't lose that week. I know that's the oldest joke in the book, but for fuck's sake, to just get up on Sunday and know that the Bears haven't played and won't play, and then just enjoy football. Just be a football guy. What week is that? It's not this next week, is it?
I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, let me check.
Yeah, we have the bye week after this. Next week's the bye week. Dude, I count that as a win.
It's a win.
I count that as a win.
Dude, we're 3-10. Like, that's just fucking putrid to look at.
We are just – we become big Broncos and Rams fans this week. Need them to get a win.
Well, the Broncos almost did.
Games to win.
The Broncos almost did, but yeah.
Yo, the next two games are the fucking Eagles and the Bills. I hate this team.
Oh, no, we're getting it.
Do we have any final wrap-up thoughts for today's show? Because that is absurd to look at. You got a bye week and then two automatic L's. Two absolutely
L's. Yo, the Eagles might put up legitimately like 52 points against this defense, and the Bears actually might put up like – it could be like a 90-point game, because coming off the bye week with Justin Fields – remember how they came off the bye week?
Dude, we're going to be 14-point dogs.
Or like mini bye week the Bears came off of, right? This could be a legitimately 90-point fucking game against the
Eagles. It could be like Oklahoma against Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm not even
just kidding. The classic, like,
we're going to be fucking
college backyard shootout.
Two touchdown underdogs on back-to-back weeks. And the funny part is we probably won't cover each week, either week. So, yeah. Bye week this week. Maybe we'll cook up some fun bye week activities for this week's show, as we obviously won't have a game to preview. Patrick's in the chat here saying 55-42. That That looks like a Big Ten basketball score, to be honest.
I like that, actually. Yeah, that was a high school basketball score.
But, yeah, I mean, about as good of a game that you could see from Justin Fields outside of – I mean, I know Quinn's talked about it and Joey's talked about it. You know, two interceptions, the box score hardos will have a field day with that. But he made all the throws. He ran the ball well. They didn't really let him run the ball, so – considering they let him run the ball like five times to get 75 yards and a touchdown on that is incredible. Some other standout players for him today are Komet, Sanborn, players in the secondary, Jones, Blackwell, a couple of just random heroes, but not enough. Yeah, not enough at the end. Fucking Luke Getsy's an awful play caller. It's literal Waffle House menu in front of him, but we can't lose this week. We'll be back in the middle of the week, just kind of with a – maybe we'll just have like a mid-season award show. We'll pick some fun awards that you can go over or something like that and figure out where we can find positive spots on this team. But other than that, where do you guys want to wrap it up on? Do you have any final thoughts?
Players of the game? I don't know.
Yeah, players of the game in this one. Fuck this team. Bye. No, I'm just kidding. Who you got?
Let's do coaches of the game. Luke Getsy.
No. Players of the game. Offense, I think, is all the same. But I'm going to stand out.
You're going to stand out? I wanted to do N'Keal Harry. I'm not sure if that's
– Oh, okay. Then we're all
– If you're going to take.
No, because I know who Q's going to take.
So, I mean, it's Fields, but I want to take N'Keal Harry for offense. I want to take I don't want to steal your guy in defense because I feel like I know where you're going.
No, just spit it out.
I want to do Josh Blackwell. I think Josh Blackwell had a really solid game. I really do, especially being the rookie and not playing much. And coming,
well, you're going against Aaron Rodgers too, bro.
Right.
As much as we hate him, he's still a Hall of Famer, brother.
And they still got some receivers that can get open pretty decent. I mean, like, we talked shit about their receiving corps all season and all preseason, but they've looked a little bit better for the most part, especially lately, coming into this game. So
Randall Cobb's like that drunk uncle that you have at the barbecue that just keeps going other back up for more and like potentially has like a Tupperware to bring some stuff home.
Dude, he's definitely making the what do you call it, the easy bake oven at this point.
He's like, Aaron, how the fuck are you going to lunch with the rookie every day and not me?
Yeah, he's pissed off. And you can't even hit me on a little short pass that's like 5 yards.
Yeah, and they got him returning punts. He might be the oldest punt returner in the NFL.
Did you see Jameson Williams was like gunning? I think
I heard that in the pregame. And I think it was Boomer. And he was like, and that's why the Lions aren't ever good.
That's so dumb, man.
Your first round draft pick running down on punts like he's Josh fucking Bellamy.
You got him doing the Vince Papale out there. He was a bartender last week.
And what are we doing?
Got him for punts.
All right, Q, who you got?
The Hogs, man. It's not really fair because it's six players, but like Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Sam Mustafa, Tevin Jenkins, Riley Reiff, and Alex Leatherwood. Those guys, best pass protection I've seen all season for Fields. Fields is hurt. They need to step up. They stepped up. Great job.
Sam Mustafa statue?
No, we're not there yet.
They need to put the Sanborn and Fields ones up first, and then we'll think about that.
What about on defense?
On defense, it's Jackie Sanborn, man. Guy was everywhere. He was flying around. He was out there jawing with Aaron Rodgers, his like mortal enemy, because he grew up a Bears fan. Great game by him.
Yeah, and he spent many years at Wisconsin, so you know all his buddies are all Packers fans and all his college teammates. But yeah, for me, offensively, I've bitched for the last few weeks about a lot of times how we don't have a guy that we can go to on third down or that we can't count on in these tight situations when we're in a pinch and we need some yardage. Cole Kmet was that guy. Every single time the ball went his way, he was making plays. Six catches, 72 yards on the day. Would have loved if he found the end zone. So I had that in a little same game parlay. But yeah, the kid has gotten a lot better, way better than I think any of us anticipated. And you got two Notre Dame fans on the call. And I look forward to seeing him continue to grow because, as you all know, a young quarterback's best friend is a quality tight end in a good running game.
We have both. So to add to what we've seen from him this year, another great performance. And then on the defensive side, like, come on now. I was talking about building this statue in the preseason. I'm giving it to him every time I can. Jack fucking Sanborn. That's my middle linebacker. Baltimore can keep Roquan in 1-point games with the Broncos. We don't need him.
That's pretty harsh, my friend. That's pretty harsh.
I still have his jersey.
Who knew that all that Komet needed was some Chase Claypool in his life?
Yeah. Yeah, just to take a little bit of the pressure off. And listen, I know the Claypool experiment hasn't gone well. Luckily, my Twitter account no longer exists for the moment being, because there's a lot. If you just type in B.300 and Chase Claypool, several tweets, probably a few rows of tweets, obviously, dating back to his time at Notre Dame. But yeah, he got twisted up like a pretzel. Like I said earlier in the game or earlier in the show, I don't know if it was really a fumble, but it got called a fumble on the field. You got to see something more from him. Otherwise, they might not even extend. What is it? He's on a 1-year deal, or we have
him probably playing his contract year. He doesn't show a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But no matter what happens, the Bears cannot ruin your Sunday this upcoming week. We'll be back with you guys in the middle of the week. Just maybe a midseason, just Bears on tap after dark or something like that. We'll think of something fun leading up to it. But yeah, no game to preview, so it'll be a little bit of a more free-flowing show. And then we'll obviously take Sunday off because there is no game. So enjoy the week off of Bears football. Study up on your draft prospects. Watch as much college football as you can. It's an important time for all of us that we're all on the same page and not fighting each other on who we want, because we need to find the right guys for this team to get this team back to the playoffs.
Roma Dunze.
With that being said, you can follow Joey at Joey Knows Nothing. You can follow Quentin at Buck the Stats. And you can follow me whenever Twitter support gets back to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Elon, you fuck. It's been a week. You haven't gotten back to me. I need my Twitter back because I'm just getting tagged in the pod as B-Don. So it is what it is. We'll be back with you guys in the middle of the week. And bear down.
Bear down.
Luke Getsy's a fraud. Bear down.
Fuck you, Luke Getsy, and you too, Elon.
Fuck you, Dogecoin.